Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
That's Ryan Sheridan. It's called Here and Now at 9.30 on 2FM. I'm sitting before a man called Owen Fannin. And Owen, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming in to see us. Tony's in there too. How are you, Tony? You're welcome.
Good morning.
Owen, I'm going to focus on you if I can, because I suppose we're in the middle of May now, yeah. May 18th, and people are thinking about packing up and heading off for the hills for a bit of a break if they can.
Yeah.
Pack the car, which is exactly what you did. In what was it,
July 2011, yeah. It was just a family holiday. We decided the four of us to go down to, we were going actually with friends of ours as well and their children.
Yeah.
And we just packed up, went down to Kerry, to Killarney, to the Glen Eagle Hotel. It's just a normal holiday, just a normal family holiday, doing the normal family things.
So who was in the car heading down?
Oh, Kerry, it was myself, Kerry Ann.
Your wife.
Tuig, yeah. And Phelan.
Tuig would have been
five at the time.
And Phelan?
Phelan would have been, it wouldn't have been one yet. It'd probably been about 11 months.
That's a pretty typical young family heading for the hills.
Yeah,
getting out of Dodge, you know, because what part of town are you from?
From Ballymun.
Getting out of Ballymun, yeah. And getting into Killarney to get out of the city and into the country.
Exactly.
All in the car together. You, yeah. Good company, Joe, get on. You're good.
Not in the car together, no. You don't. No, not in the car.
Now it's even more typical. So there would have been the usual carry on.
Yeah, because I never know where I'm going. I take me out of Ballymun, I get a nosebleed. So
a bit the same.
Yeah.
Okay, so out you go and you're heading down, all excited. How long were you due to stay for?
We were down, we went on the Friday and we were coming back on the Monday. So
all right, so it was a weekend. Nice,
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah, it was a nice weekend. And typical things, every morning we'd go down to the pool and I'd be teaching Tuig how to swim.
Yeah.
You know, and the last day we were there, I was same thing, teaching him how to swim, trying to get him more involved in it. And
was he into it? Did he enjoy hanging out with his dad in the pool?
Absolutely loved the pool. He loved it, and he was in the kiddies pool. And I had said to him, I said, "I'm just going to go have a little swim, Lent, and I'll be back. I'll be back in 2 minutes." And he told me he loved me, and I said, "I love you too, Sean." And off I went, done the lap. This is probably a minute and a half, 2 minutes, because it wasn't the full length of the pool, it was half. So I went off, come back, couldn't see him. Now, I didn't panic at this stage. I grew up and Tuig typically would always hold on to his way till the last minute. So I thought to myself, he's either running off, oh, I have to go, and into the toilet. So I went into the toilet, wasn't there, called his name. That's when I started to panic. Where's he gone? So I come back out, still couldn't see him around. So I went back and I knocked on the women's changing room to see if he had gone in there by mistake. They said nobody had seen him. And as I was coming back out, this felt like an absolute eternity for me. You know, everything, fear kind of took over. It was that panic. I don't know whether it's ever happened to you where you're in the shops, that kind of feeling, and you just lose sight of your child for a minute. And that was just, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Where is he? And as I came out of the changing room, a gentleman had come towards me and he had said, "They're pulling your young fella out of the pool." And I'd seen it. He was lying on the floor and the lads were walking on him. And I came over, you know, tried to talk to him, holding his hand. You know, I thought he was grand. I thought, he's fine. The lads were walking on him and the water was coming out of his mouth. And it was, you know, I thought he was coming back, but he wasn't. I tried to walk a little bit myself because I walk in Temple Street, so I know a little bit about CPR and that, but it just wasn't. And the time was passing. It was nothing there. And the ambulance had arrived then and they had started to walk on him. Whilst they were bringing him out to bring him up to Kerry General. And
were you saying anything to him or were you just...
I was trying. I said, come on, son. Come on back to me. Come on back to us. And it just wasn't happening.
And what were you thinking? Were you thinking the worst or were you thinking of hope?
it was hope mostly. Mm. He's going to be fine. He's a little fighter. He's a Fannin, you know. He's and they had taken him in, and myself and Carrie Ann were put into the back of a Garda car to follow behind the ambulance. It was those moments in the car, you know, where you're behind the ambulance. He's going to be okay. He's going to be okay. These lads know what they're doing. Yeah. And we had gotten there, and the ambulance had just arrived. Now there was four or five paramedics in the back of the ambulance walking on him, still trying to get him down. They brought him into A&E, and they tried some more, and it was very difficult for myself and Carrie Ann to watch this unfold before us, a firstborn.
How was she, Carrie Ann?
Devastated as any mother would be, yeah, you know.
I can just
so forced.
The two of you in the car going along chasing the ambulance. I mean, you know, what do you say to?
There was actually no conversation between us. Yeah, I remember we were just holding each other's hands. You know, holding on to that small bit of hope that he's going to be all right. And then, as I was saying, they were walking on him in the A&E, and it was just nothing there. They then asked the question, do you want us to stop walking on him? And I knew so much time had passed that there was going to be no hope whatsoever. So I had to make that call and tell them to stop walking on him, you know. And for me, as any father out there, any parent out there, those kind of decisions you shouldn't have to make, you know. And I also with this, I have to live with the fact that I left him alone for that brief period. You know, I'm Tuaig's father. I failed to protect him, you know, that kind of way. And for me, it's just a constant over and over again in my head that I shouldn't have left him. I shouldn't have went for that swim, and it's cost us dearly.
Let me go back a couple of steps to when the people came out of the room and said to you, listen, Owen, do you want us to keep working, or
we were in the room.
You were there as they were working. I thought you might be outside.
You were
witnessing all of this.
Yeah.
Pumping and breathing and everything. Which can only have been distressing to look at, let alone.
Yeah, it's something that will stay with me for the rest of my life.
And they say, do you want us to stop this? I mean, or do they say we have to stop this?
Well, they had asked, do you want us to stop? And as I said, too much time had passed.
You knew, didn't you?
It's just, there was nothing there. There was no hair, no brain activity. There was
nothing.
He was gone.
And were you in a position to go to him then, although he was gone?
Yeah, they had left, the medical team had left the room to give myself and Carrie Ann some time room.
And how long did you spend there?
Not long enough. We were actually asked so they could move him out there to a place where we could be alone, basically.
What do you do when you're sitting or standing there with your wife and the most precious thing in the world, you know, between you? How do you take that in? How do you live that moment?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. You just have to. You've no choice in the matter. It's just, there's no words that I could say to describe how we felt, and how we still feel. It doesn't. It doesn't get easier for us. It gets. You just get better at dealing with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only.
The you mentioned as we a minute ago about the idea of, I wish I hadn't gone for that swim.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't swam that minute and a half of a half a length.
Yeah.
You know, but. I presume everyone's telling you that's not it's not your fault, it's not your guilt. But I get the impression that that's very nice of people to say that, but it's not helping you.
It doesn't help, and it'll never help me, and it'll never help Carrie Ann either. You know, we...
Do you talk about it?
No, not really. The only, this is the first time that I've actually spoken to anyone about it, other than counsellors or psychologists.
How's that going, the counselling and the psychology?
Well, I've finished with it.
Yeah. Happily or sadly?
Happily. It has helped an awful lot. You know, I have to move on. I can't keep going back over the same ground. I have to keep going forward, you know, and only looking back when to see how far I've come, you know, to see how far we've come.
The fact that you're talking today, and we'll talk about why you're talking today, do you feel that's part almost of the process of being able to say, I can now do this conversation in a public way? You'll never move on. I always think that's a terrible expression. Have you moved on? What do you mean? I'm lost there. Yeah. That's where I got lost. You don't move on. You move sideways.
Exactly.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that is very fair to say. Yeah, you don't. You can never get over things like this. No parent out there who is not gone through it, but is going through it.
Yeah.
You know, you never get over these things.
Like that family today, who's exactly 18 exactly. year old's birthday tomorrow. You know, should have been.
I feel for that family. Yeah. You know, I know the grief they're going through.
You do. Yeah. And that's the difference. You know, I was talking to somebody on Friday about a relative who had died, and it was an older person, and we were saying how it doesn't matter what age somebody is, you know, if it's your father or your mother, they're still your father and mother. Exactly. Whatever good age. You know, well, they weren't your mother and father, doesn't that?
Yeah.
But the biggest aberration of all, and most cruel of them all, is definitely for a father and mother to bury a child.
Yeah.
That's the most wrong thing of all. And you had to do that. And I presume that the funeral that you had was it? I always think this is a strange way of putting it, but I'll be straight with you. Was it a beautiful sadness or was it just a desperate sadness?
It was actually. Do you know what happy. I mean? During the funeral, people were telling different stories about Tori. Funny stories about him. You know,
like what?
It was a character.
Okay.
It was a little character. It was a little charmer, I have to say. He'd skip into school every morning.
Yeah.
You know, and one of his teachers had told a great story about how he'd gone into school one morning and he called one of the teachers, and this tall woman, you know, and she said, I have a secret. And she says, what is it? She's come down. She beckoned him down, beckoned her down. Yeah. And as she came down towards to meet his face, he kissed her and walked off. You know?
Well, that was he started young, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, little devil.
Well, that was only going to get messy now when he got older.
Yeah, think about that.
But he was, that was the nature of the child.
He was so full of love and so he was
and a bit of a messer.
So happy.
What have you found to be the most difficult times of the year for you to get? Is it Christmas and birthdays to use?
Exactly.
Is it all those things? Yeah.
Everything that would include them. I mean, we include them in everything and anyway as a family, yeah.
Do you? Yeah. How do you do that?
Well, if it's his birthday, we still buy a present. If Christmas, but we'll include the boys in this present as well. So it's kind of, they all get to play together in a way. Say, we bought for Christmas, I should say, Santi got him a PlayStation.
Oh, so Santa still comes to him?
Oh, Santa still comes, and we got a PlayStation. So
and he shares the presents out to the other boys, yeah.
Fail him and send him player.
Yeah, because Senan came along.
He came along not long after.
Yeah.
I mean, we were planning to have another child and we kind of kept going. We said, look, we'll keep going.
Was that a hard decision to keep going like that, or did you feel that it couldn't have been the more right decision, if you know what I'm saying?
It was the right decision.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point in putting, you got to keep going with your plans.
Yeah.
You know, whatever obstacles is put in your way, keep going. Keep moving forward.
How about people? I always find, Owen, when talking to people who've had something difficult or awful happen in their life, that friends and family, and to an extent people you kind of know, can't deal with it. And they will walk down the street and they'll see and go, oh, here's your man now. I don't know what to say.
They'll go over the other side of the road.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I find that it's extraordinary.
Yeah.
And how does it make you feel when you see that? Do you feel sorry for them or do you feel a little bit annoyed?
You know what? I don't. People are what people are. It's
they're awkward about
everyone,
it.
Everyone deals with it in their own way.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to respect that.
Yeah.
I was saying that simple things like a handshake or a hug, you don't have to say it. Simple things like that.
You'd prefer that?
I'd prefer that.
Than to avoid
rather
it.
Rather than somebody saying something absolutely stupid. and upsetting you all day. But, you know, people, as I said, people deal with it in a different way, you know.
What sort of stupid things do people say? Because if you tell us, we'll know not to say them.
It's somebody had said something really, really stupid. They had said, actually, I have another child.
Yeah.
You know, and that that's was, I felt, honestly, felt like strangling this person. But, you know, you move on.
Yeah. And that will follow you for the day then.
Yeah, it does. Sort of it festers away and you kind of, you get angry about it. But deep breaths.
I say a lot of, I say you do a lot of deep breathing, yeah. Do you? What were you saying, Tony?
It's usual, isn't it? I'm sorry for your loss and how are you feeling?
Yeah.
Like, and what can you answer the person? But I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm
you probably have to have the same line. I remember talking to a man, a lovely man, whose son passed away way too young as well. And, you know, he said that his least favourite thing, because you're in this horrible place together.
Yeah.
But you have this common story. Horrible one as it is. But he said that the one phrase that used to drive him mad was time is a healer.
Yeah.
And he said, well, what does that mean? He said, I felt my son's death the day it happened, and I still have it many years later talking to you, and I'll have it when I leave this studio.
Exactly. Exactly. I always say time is a great healer, but unfortunately it kills us all, you know.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That is for sure. You then, if somebody, when you think about remembering Tadhg, When you laid him to rest that last time, I understand that there was this nice atmosphere in the graveyard. Is that right? That there was a sort of a sense that he might have been around, or did you?
It was summer, and there was an abundance of butterflies around that day. I noticed them.
Yeah.
You know? And there was family there. There was nobody. It was just immediate family that was there on the day. You know. So we had somebody singing, a cousin of mine. She was singing Rolling on Your River, you know, and we were all singing it because it was one of his favourite songs.
Big Wheel Keep on Turning.
Yeah, I can sing it.
And why was he a fan of that?
He loved films.
He loved movie buff.
Good on him. And he was watching, it was Flushed Away. Yeah. I don't know whether you've seen it.
Yeah, the one with the rats
the
and the mice. And
yeah, but there's a scene in it where there's a load of slugs and they're actually singing this song and he loved it, you know, he loved it.
So...
But, there was an abundance of butterflies and I kind of, the more I thought about it, the more I looked into the butterfly thing, it was a spiritual thing, you know, the rebirth and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And in some way we're getting them back.
The teddy bears that you've got made.
Yeah.
Tell me about
them. There's Cusasasta and Feilacan. Feilacan is Irish for butterfly and Cusasasta is Irish for happy feet. And they were made by a friend of ours, Elvis Clowes. And they come everywhere with us.
Do they?
Any sort of, if I go into zoo or if I go into any sort of outings, they come with us. He's always with us that way, you know what I mean? He's always with us in any way.
He's with you in your heart anyway, but the physicality of the clothes turning into teddy bears mean that it really feels like he's knocking around.
If I'm having a bad day, I'll just go upstairs and squeeze the life out of these teddy bears, you know?
Does it help?
It does. It does. It's a strange thing. But it does help.
Yeah, I don't think it's strange at all, actually. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Thanks.
Yeah, and I can see why you do that. I was curious to know, if you don't mind me asking you, about telling Phelim as a young boy where his brother has gone.
We'd always... That's difficult for us, you know, especially because he's so young. We just say he's up, he's amongst the stars, you know. And only recently... was having a conversation with him and he was crying after it because he had said, he'd asked me where he is and I said, he's up amongst the stars, son. And he had said, well, I want to be an astronaut. And I said, why is that? He said, so I can go and see him.
Oh, God.
Know, lads, it's,
oh, I'll break your heart.
You know, I'm there biting my lip in the car.
Yeah.
But how can you explain it? He's too young, you know, to kind of explain.
But you know something? There's something good to be taken from him saying, imagine a child being that good.
It's the innocence of it, really, you know.
And there's a kindness to it that make children better than any adult you'll ever meet.
As you
well know.
Yeah.
The Tadhg Fannin, is that what I'm saying? That
Fannin,
correct?
Yeah. Fannin. Tadhg Fannin Foundation.
Is something that you've decided to set up, and that we were so happy to talk to you this morning because of the memory. of this foundation, what it's doing for people and particularly for children and their families. Would you tell us a bit about it and why you set it up?
It was we had set it up in 2011 in October. We had it was like a benefit night. And I think people at the time thought it was the money would have been going to us, you know, but it ended up that we decided that the money was going to, we were going to give it to Crumlin, to St. John's Ward. Now, we didn't give them the money, we bought equipment for the St. John's Ward, which is a cancer ward, so.
12,500, right?
Sorry, Tony, yeah. Tony.
12,500.
By the way, Tony, you were dragged in here for a bit of moral support, obviously to make sure that Owen made it through, but he didn't need it. Because that took
really,
a lot of...
Really brilliant.
Yeah, that was not an easy thing to do. But I know also that you have an interest in the foundation, so why don't you give us some background as well?
Right, so 2011, as Owen said, we set up... there was a fundraiser in Cavanaugh's in Dorchester, and just all the friends got together just to see what we do, just to pull on and carry on through. And we raised a massive €12,500 on the night.
That's a lot of money.
So from that was for Crumlin's Children's Hospital, St. John's Ward. So we bought equipment. And it was only after that we were kind of just having a chat and we were like, this was really good and, you know, the community got around it. What else could we do? So with that came Tiger Fandom Foundation. So it's just a group of friends run by Owen and Carrie Ann. They asked a group of us who were close to them, would we do a bit more? So it took a bit more momentum. So we said, yeah, great, how could you not support your friends, you know? So it kept gathering. So the next year then we raised €10,000 for Irish premature babies.
Brilliant.
You know, just little events that we're running, 1,000 here, 2,000 there, different things.
And you're talking about a time when people don't have a lot of money. To be coming up with these numbers.
Exactly.
A tribute to the people that you...
The kindness of people.
Yeah,
it's kind
of strangers.
Yeah, community spirit in Valley Mon. You know, like, it gets a bad name out there, but the people are the best.
Yeah.
You know, proper, real Dublin people, you know.
Yeah, well, you
hands
can see
that.
Hands
in the pocket to give you your last euro.
Yeah.
So then we kind of said, right, this is kind of getting a bit bigger, you know, so we said we'd get our charity number. So with that, the charity grew, and we decided that we're not going to be handing out the money ourselves. So what we'd done was we'd pick another registered children's charity, and we'd go and raise funds to help them. So buy equipment, just help any way we could.
Right.
We're not actually handing money over to the charities where... It gets lost in
it's practical.
Marketing,
yeah, I know what you mean.
We will pick and ask them what they want from us.
So this year's charity is the...
So this year's charity is the Down Syndrome Centre.
Yeah.
So we picked it through the committee. There's 14 people on our committee, all voluntary. All our time is just given for the love of TOIG and the love of helping other children's charities.
Great.
So... We put it to a vote. We sit down as a committee every month. We go through the proper protocols. We put it to a vote, and Down Syndrome Centre came out. We met up with Niamh from the Down Syndrome Centre. She came, told us the fabulous work that they do.
Amazing,
so straight away we had this great bond with them. And this year we're going to hopefully raise, but we should, €25,000. To help with their speech and therapy
that's
the Down Syndrome Centre.
And that is tremendous. And Owen, obviously that gives you some class of strength and carry on to say, tyke, this is all you're thinking when
exactly.
numbers.
Exactly, it's all done in his memory.
Yeah.
You know, it's all so... People that know the name, people that know Tiger Fannin and kindness, that Tiger Fannin comes with kindness, you know.
There's so many texts coming in. There's so many texts from people full of admiration for you and for the strength that you've exhibited today to tell your story, and a lot of mums and dads feeling very touched by it. And
thank you.
Yeah, they're very grateful to you for sharing the story. I'll just give you one, which is kind of mildly amusing in the kind of darker way. It says, "I volunteer in Crumlin Hospital. Lots of parents who've lost kids in there tell me that they get people giving them the tilted head, which we joke about, going, are you all right?
Yeah.
And then the hand on the shoulder saying, are you all right?
Anyway,
people mean well, but it never stops. I was talking to one of the mothers one day, and she was telling me, she was in a cafe telling a friend about this gesture when all of a sudden a woman came up and did it right there. So they burst out laughing. The timing wasn't real. But Owen is so strong to come and talk about this, and fair play to Kieran in Donabate says thanks to Tig's dad. You see, you're not even Owen anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Tig's dad for sharing his story. He's incredibly brave, and as a father, I have a huge amount of respect for him, and will remember his touching story, and will be extra vigilant with my daughter, as will parents across the country, and have no doubt that by coming on air this morning, you have saved lives.
Yeah.
In Tig's name.
No, I hope so.
I think that's a really important thing to know. Let's end it on that note, because it's important. And listen, our best to you, and to Carrie Ann, and to the boys.
Thanks very much.
And to Tig, wherever he is, up in the stars today.
Can we just direct people to our Facebook page? So we've Tig O'Fannon on Facebook.
Yeah.
We have Tig O'Fannon Foundation on Twitter.
Great.
Instagram. And then we've www.tigofannon.com. That's our website.
He's everywhere.
He's all over.
There's no avoiding Tig.
You can't get away from
everything that we do will be up there. So people want to have a look or even donate to help a great cause, please look us up.
Makes a lot of sense. Tony, thanks for coming in today, but particularly to you, Owen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time, and look after yourself.
You too. Thank you.